The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com and via the KWAM radio app. Hello, Patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd again today. I'm coming to you from Starnes Media affiliate Newstalk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. That's my home base where I do a program on this station right before Todd's live program. Todd is taking R&R again today, much deserved, I trust you will agree. I'm sure he's listening and he'll be continuing to tweet, because when he takes R&R, it means he's still tweeting and he's still posting and he's doing all of these things. I don't do vacation well either. At least he gets away from the studio. So, in any event, Todd has R&R time, and so it'll be you and me talking this week along with some fine guests from around the country. But let's start the conversation today by having you weigh in on what's on your mind. Yesterday on this program, it was virtually all Afghanistan, and we're going to be pretty heavy with that again today, simply because of the ramifications of the failed U.S. policy there in so many aspects of politics and world affairs. But we're happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about, and you do that by giving us a call, 844-747-8868, free call, 844-747-8868. Kyle and Grace are at Team Starnes World Headquarters in Memphis, and Avery is weighing in, so the whole team is together, just as you would expect, and we'll keep the conversation lively as we go along today. One of the things that this failed policy, the failed hurried-up withdrawal, what that has shown us is that this administration is so convinced it is right on every issue to re-engineer society, they are not about to let little things like, facts get in the way. Contrary opinions get in the way. They are just about as tone deaf as you can possibly be. Witness the fact that yesterday, and we mentioned this during the program, and Mr. Starnes tweeted this out last night as well, so if you missed the program, you would have seen that, and this just tells you what you need to know about this bunch. Press Secretary Jen Psaki comes out and says, there are approximately 10,000 who have self-identified as Americans in Afghanistan. Self-identify. See, here you go again with this. It doesn't matter what you are, it's what you self-identify as. Well, I would like to self-identify as being younger, attractive, perhaps rich, but it's not going to make it so. So this phrase, self-identifying as Americans, do you have a passport? You're an American. I don't understand this, except they cannot even bring themselves, folks, to say Americans. They've self-identified as Americans. It just shows you how out of touch, not only with reality they are, how out of touch they are with the rest of the world. Then there's this. If you look at Kamala Harris's schedule for the week, today is Wednesday. On Friday, she is scheduled to take off on a trip across the Pacific. It includes a stop in Vietnam. With all of the comparisons this week, with the fall of Kabul to the fall of Saigon, when Democrats are silent, so amazingly silent, on this whole issue of what the Biden-Harris administration has done, she's still going to go to Vietnam. At least no plans yet to cancel the trip. That's according to the Washington Post. Why not? Let's go to Singapore and let's go to Vietnam. Gee, do you think maybe she can go to the U.S. Embassy? That'd be tremendous. We could have all sorts of photo recreations here. Now, is that a cheap partisan shot? I suppose, because you might say, well, if she canceled the trip, then somebody like Stein would get on the radio and criticize her for canceling the trip. Yeah, maybe. But it just shows they are so out of touch with everything. They know how seriously this is adversely affecting them. The Afghanistan disaster. How seriously this is affecting them. And so now there's a pivot. Now Afghanistan's in the rearview mirror. You people who keep wanting to bring up Afghanistan, you're just trying to score political points. We, the Biden-Harris administration, we are looking forward. And that's why we're going to talk about virtually nothing but COVID today from administration podiums. We're going to make sure that you hear that you need a booster shot, because a booster shot affects everyone, and that'll knock Afghanistan off the front page. So the president's going to come back from Camp David, and he's going to deliver remarks on COVID. Well, that's going to change everything, right? It's the shiny object syndrome at work. Look, over here, shiny object, COVID, COVID shots, you're going to need boosters, look over here. Pay no attention to Taliban fighters brutally beating and killing people in Kabul. Don't look at that. Look over here. COVID shots. And they're going to be free. This is obviously what you do when you've lost the public relations battle. You're trying to come up with something else to distract people so that people don't pay attention to what you don't want them to pay attention to. The question is going to be how quickly the formerly mainstream media buys into this talking point. How quickly do they forget about Afghanistan and move on to what the administration wants to talk about? The situation in Afghanistan is just beginning. And I know we would like to say, well, that it's a done deal. Close the file. 4,500 American troops there. Perhaps 10,000 Americans, or if you like, self-identified Americans. Hosts of Afghans who have relied on U.S. support, put themselves in harm's way to support this country, our country, and we've just left them there. The horrible execution of this policy is just beginning to be felt. No wonder they want to go back to talking about COVID, because that's going to affect every one of us every day. They're hoping you will put Afghanistan in your rearview mirror, just as they have. But you won't. Because the impact of that decision is going to be compounded. What if we bring plane loads of Afghan refugees here? Where are we going to put them? Well, apparently some military bases in Wisconsin and Texas. How are you going to vet them? I've talked to multiple people since you and I spoke on this program yesterday. And in one voice, it sounds fine to say, we need to protect these people who worked for us. Interpreters, families of these people. You see, we have to have the mindset of the terrorists in this case, the Taliban. We have to stop thinking like rational people. Rational people would not seek out the family of an enemy. In their mind, an enemy. An interpreter for the Americans, that would be an enemy. Rational people don't seek out the family and kill them in retaliation. But this group does. And we know it because it's happened. We know it because some who are here are in great fear for their family. All right, so fine. Round up a bunch of people and evacuate them and bring them to this country. How are you going to be sure that they are pure and not simply Taliban operatives jumping in? If our intelligence about Afghanistan was so bad that it led to this disaster, series of impulsive decisions made without benefit of counsel, or at least listening to the counsel, or good intel, we still don't know which it was. If they're making those kinds of decisions, do you have any confidence that they're vetting people before they get on these transport planes, before they're put in this country? There's no mechanism for this. There's no mechanism for vetting them. And why is it our own government, talking out of one side of its mouth, saying that one of the reasons that this has failed is because, well, the army just wasn't loyal enough, sold out to the highest bidder? Well, there's a history there. Whoever pays the most, okay, they'll fight for that side. If that's the case, do you trust who's coming into this country? Now, I'm not saying we should not be benevolent. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about the people we left in harm's way. What I'm saying is I'm worried about us. I'm concerned about this country and our citizens and infiltration from the outside. As you near yet another anniversary of 9/11, and yes, this is a round anniversary, the White House was worried about the optics of it all. I can't imagine the optics of having U.S. troops in Afghanistan was worse than the Taliban in charge again for the 20th anniversary of 9/11. But as these anniversaries come up, we always have a heightened terror alert. Is this the time to bring people in when we don't exactly know who they are? I'm just saying this is not being discussed or thought about enough. At least I'm not seeing it anywhere. And I'm guessing you're concerned about it. Let's hear your thoughts on this or whatever topic of interest. 844-747-8868. During Vietnam, when Walter Cronkite went on CBS and essentially said the Vietnam War was lost, the famous quote, paraphrased here, is that President Johnson turned to his aide, Bill Moyers, and said, well, if I've lost Cronkite, I've lost Middle America, knowing that if the heartland, whether it's geography or in your mind, the heartland was lost, then there would be no support for the administration. Well, in the current manipulative media landscape, if CNN is lost, that's not good for Democrats, and I'll explain when we come back in a moment. 844-747-8868. Weigh in on the live show blog at toddstarns.com as well. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being with us on the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Stein Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd this week. Just before the break, I said something about if you've lost CNN, you're a Democrat. Boy, that's about as bad as it can be. Clarissa Ward is a reporter for CNN, chief international correspondent. She's reporting from Kabul. And, again, wearing a burqa or a head covering, at the very least. This is a quote from Clarissa Ward. And this I'm getting from the Twitter machine, but the video is right there to back it up. So this is what she said. I've covered all sorts of crazy situations. This was mayhem. This was nuts. This was impossible for an ordinary civilian, even if they had their paperwork. There's no coherent system for processing people. She's talking about trying to leave the country, trying to get access to the Karzai International Airport and leave. We know that at one point the Taliban had it surrounded. U.S. forces then controlled the perimeter of the airport. But again, it was the U.S. government that said shelter in place. And now those people can't get through, even in the hope that they can get out. Again, from the Department of How Tone Deaf Can People Be? This is a statement. This came from the White House. That's how I got it, on the email from the White House, because we're close, you know. And it said it was forwarding it from the State Department. This was a self-styled joint statement on the situation of women and girls in Afghanistan. A statement co-signed by, 20 countries. It includes the UK. It includes Argentina, Australia, and, of course, the United States. Three-paragraph statement that I will read you before we go to the bottom of the hour break. There's nothing wrong with the words. But the fact that they say these words and actually think they will have any impact, I don't think anybody here or there feels comforted by this. Quoting now. We are deeply worried about Afghan women and girls, their rights to education, work, and freedom of movement. We call on those in positions of power and authority across Afghanistan to guarantee their protection. Yeah, that'll do it. I continue. Afghan women and girls, as all Afghan people, deserve to live in safety, security, and dignity. Any form of discrimination and abuse should be prevented. We in the international community stand ready to assist them with humanitarian aid and support to ensure that their voices can be heard. They got to feel good about that, right? Finally, we will monitor closely. Oh, goodness, they're going to monitor closely how any future government ensures rights and freedoms that have become an integral part of the life of women and girls in Afghanistan during the last 20 years. You people who wrote that statement, you realize you've lost, right? You tried to put a government in place, and they didn't get to hold the government. For whatever reason, it's no longer there. I say for whatever reason. Could the Afghan army have defended
if we had not taken away the air support option, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is a very different government is in place. Fundamental premise of it is a form of religion that treats mules and horses better than women and girls. And so we're going to monitor this closely. Well, don't we feel good about ourselves? I'm sure the women and girls of Afghanistan are comforted by you people sitting there monitoring closely. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Come on back after the break. This is the Todd Stern Show.
My friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. First night you sleep on the Giza sheet, you will never want to sleep on anything else. Giza Dream Sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets. You receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-839-8506 or go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, who is taking some R&R time this week. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. That's 844-747-8868. And we look forward to hearing your comments on any of these issues. Again, we've really been heavy on Afghanistan. And again, it is because of what it means broadly. In terms of the promises this administration makes to the world, in terms of its mindset, its worldview. And we're going to apparently hear from the person sworn in as president back on January 20th. Joseph R. Biden Jr. will be speaking, apparently this afternoon, about COVID, as we now learn that they're going to be needing booster shots for folks after, an eight-month period? This is at the time that we're seeing so many more mandates and a real divisiveness in our country about the issue. You've got, on the one hand, the federal government trying to impose one-size-fits-all policies. On the other side, you have people who say, wait a second, I don't trust what you say about this issue. Here's how COVID and Afghanistan merge. If our partners in the world can't depend on what this administration does, well, then why should we? Especially when here domestically we have had so many broken promises, inconsistencies, lack of attention to what experts have to say. Just think about COVID on its own. No, masks will not help. Well, yes, actually, masks do help. We only told you that so you wouldn't go hoard them and keep them keep hospital people from getting them. So yes, please wear a mask. In fact, wear two. How about three? Mask them if you got them. Get the shot. Then you won't have to wear the mask. Oops, maybe you do. Mandatory vaccines. Well, what if I had it and I had natural immunities that are even better than your store-bought vaccines that haven't been officially proved? Nope. Sorry, one size fits all. But if I had the disease and now you're giving me the shot, we don't know what that will do to me. Doesn't matter. There's a policy. Everybody must have a shot. Don't care. going to have to quit your job. You're not going to quit? All right, we'll fire you. It's that kind of dictatorial approach. The high-handed, we know more than you do. That is really disturbing. And as we get near school starting, it's already started in some areas, of course. It will start again soon. This is the season for that. We have places where leaders have said, because leaders lead, right? Leaders have said, no mask mandates. You want to wear a mask, go wear a mask. In my state of Iowa, we now have a state law. No municipalities, no schools can issue mask mandates. This is a statewide thing by a governor. Over in Florida, the governor has issued an executive order banning mask mandates. And so you have all of these big city governments and schools run by liberals saying, well, you're wrong. You must take away our rights. Wait, what? The chief executive believes in freedom, and you're saying we can't take care of ourselves? Yes. Government, please protect us from ourselves. Require us all to wear masks. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. You don't want to wear a mask? Don't wear a mask. If you want your kid to wear a mask, tell the kid to wear a mask. I don't understand why so many Americans are so eager to buy into the paternalistic government role without in any way questioning, without in any way thinking for themselves. It is frightening, especially when you see how this government operates. I do not understand this concept of one size fits all. Now, granted, we have, what, 320 million Americans, something like that. So we can't have 320 million rules. But whatever happened, friends, to personal responsibility? Yes, I said personal responsibility. Now, if you're listening to this program, this might be the part where you say, well, yeah, I can take care of myself. And then you could probably tick off a number of ways in which you can. Better than the government can in a one-size-fits-all atmosphere. But those who want power don't want you to feel that you have any personal responsibility. They'll take care of everything. That way you don't have to worry about it. Isn't that a great trade-off? Gives them more power. And pretty soon you wake up, and because you did not exert your personal responsibility, you'd lose it. We have talked before in our get-togethers here, and I'm sure Todd does as well. I don't read a transcript of every day's show, so I don't want to presume anything. With rights, and we have rights. Everybody says it's my right to do this, this, and this. With rights come responsibilities. It is your responsibility to act in a prudent manner. But you have to own that action. It's personal responsibility. It's not just saying, oh yeah, my bad, I did this wrong. My bad, one of the worst non-apology phrases ever. Right along the word, oh, sorry, said with no sincerity whatsoever. But what about the responsibility? I have confidence in the citizens of this nation. Despite the fact that I get disappointed at times by their actions, but I still have confidence in the citizens of this nation. I don't need government telling them to strap a piece of cloth on their face. I don't need them trying to tell people one size fits all when it comes to medical care. Because that's where we go down a slippery slope. Thou shalt be vaccinated. Look, I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's a medical decision. Get the shot. Don't get the shot. I don't care. Because it's not my place to tell you one way or the other to do it or not do it. And don't ask. I'm not going to tell you what I have done or not done about that or any other medical condition. It's my choice. Yes, my body, my choice. But when we're talking about this, everybody must be vaccinated. Isn't that just preparing us for, again, the government to mandate all manner of health decisions? You know, the folks who pushed for single-payer, one-size-fits-all healthcare coverage a decade ago, what became Obamacare, you remember that started to fall off its own weight, and they admitted, well, yeah, we knew that this was just the first step toward what we really want, which was total domination. This is the next opportunity. Never let a good crisis go to waste. Here's the next opportunity for them to get to the point where they can have control over your decisions and the health care that's available to you. Don't think that that's possible? Again, what was their goal a decade ago with what became Obamacare? What did they admit after it failed? What was their ultimate goal? It's simply playing a long game, as they say. You wait until you can take the opportunity and get what you really want. I said yesterday on this program, the Taliban played a long game. They waited 20 years. And then when the time was right, they outlasted their opponents. If you're passionate about power and control, you don't act quickly, you don't act impulsively, you have an end game in mind, and you devote yourself to it. If you're someone who craves power, might you be opportunistic? Well, of course, that's how you get power, that's how you keep power, and that's how you use power. I don't trust medical advice from my government because there are too many factors at work in terms of money, in terms of power, in terms of influence. Give me options. I will make the best choice for me. It's true in virtually anything, but it's certainly true with this. So to reset the basic point, we have large entities who want to exert influence, unions, government, politicians, etc. They all line up on one size fits all. They all line up on uniformity to their standard. Does that make you nervous? I'm going to suggest it should. If I go up to a store and it says masks are required, I respect their choice just as I trust they will respect mine when I turn around and go to a different store. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. I can also make the choice of putting on a mask and going in, right? And I have at times. If it's a certain place and I want to get something there, in some respects, it's no more difficult than this. And I know the trolls who are listening and going to flame on the socials, they'll say, wow, this is a communicable disease. This is very different. Okay, to a degree, but not at all to a degree. All right. For example, you go to the store. They have a sign on the door of the store that tells you when they're open. I'm sorry, we close at 8 o'clock. Well, I want to shop at 10 o'clock. Well, you can't. That's the rule. If their rule is you have to have a mask, all right. But if I don't want to, then I'll go somewhere else. Just like if your hours of operation don't fit with my life, I guess I go somewhere else. I make the choice. Government should not be making the choice. Because government has no credibility. They have proven over and over on this issue, those who have clung to power for decades, they have lost all credibility on the issue. I see something come across that says, Dr. Fauci's going to talk. I don't care. I do not care what he has to say. He has no credibility. And when the President of the United States says, listen to Dr. Fauci, well, I don't believe him now. And given what we are led to believe was Joe Biden's single-mindedness on getting out of Afghanistan, come what may, debris in the wake, don't have much confidence in him on any issue. And that has nothing to do with anything other than policy. 844-747-8868 is the number. Give us a call. We'll take your call when we come back. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this Wednesday edition of the Todd Starn Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd this week. 844-747-8868 is the number. By the way, every afternoon, it's usually around 2 o'clock or so, I'll look in my email, and it will say that I got an email from Todd Starnes. And I always look forward to that because it's a reminder of things I might have missed. If you go to toddstarnes.com anytime, but especially during this program, there's all manner of updated stories, audio, video. That's how you get to the live show block, etc. But in case you're doing something else and you're not able to kind of keep up, why not subscribe to the Starnes newsletter? If you go to toddstarnes.com and at the top there's a button that says subscribe, you simply click on that. Just list your name, address. Well, I guess you don't need them. It's email address. Email address. Your name, the zip code, this way they make sure it's not spam and somebody trying to screw up the system. But it's a free newsletter, and it includes all of the stories from the daily email, the daily web posts. So go to toddstarnes.com, click on subscribe. The email newsletter comes into your box. Just absolutely could not be a better little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And sometimes you'll also get some emails on items that you should know about, friends of the program. Literally during this last commercial break, and I'm sitting here gnawing on a granola bar or something so that I can get through, because it's almost 12 noon where I'm at in God's country here in the heartland of America. And so by doing this program, I'm not having my normal lunch, so I'm just kind of noshing a little as I go along. Here comes this email for Good Ranchers. And the pictures of the meat in this. There is a T-bone steak that I swear if I reached out with a fork toward the computer screen, I could get a taste. Oh, that is good. Well, in any case, whether it's noontime, lunchtime, anytime, go subscribe. ToddStarnes.com. Click the subscribe button. Get the newsletter. And you'll get the news and also information about partners that will be of interest to you. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. Please feel free to use it anytime, and we will enjoy the chance to talk to you here on the radio. Oh, let's see. Joyce from North Carolina, if you can give me... Oh, she dropped. I'm sorry. I didn't see that she was on the phone, and we were getting near the end of the hour. All right. I was going to say, if you could keep it to a minute, we could take it. Why don't you call back, though, please? Because at the second half of the next half hour, we'll take phone calls. If you're staying with us, either on the radio, on the podcast, toddstarnes.com live stream, in our next hour, we'll be speaking with the former Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, Colonel Robert Wilkie. We'll also speak with Tyson Langhofer, who is Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for American Freedom. So right off the bat, after the top of the hour, you're going to hear what really went wrong from somebody who is on the inside, has a career of knowledge to know what should have been done with regard to this disaster in Afghanistan. And then in the next half hour, second half hour of our next hour, we're going to talk about that Loudoun County School Board. They're famous now, you know. If you have to leave us, come on back soon. If you're staying, please do. I'm Jeff Stein. I'm filling in for Todd. And thank you for being along for this hour of the Todd Starn Show.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to this hour number two of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com and via the KWAM radio mobile app. Hello, Patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And this week, he's taking some R&R, much deserved. Glad to have you along with us. 844-747-8868 is the number. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Colonel Robert Wilkie. Colonel Wilkie is the former Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, currently serving in the Reserve, former visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Colonel Wilkie, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd Starnes today. How are you, sir?
Well, fine, thank you, Jeff. And you're right, I'm a Reserve officer, but I am still a visiting fellow at Heritage and, as you said, former Undersecretary of Defense.
Now, your credentials, I mean, this is the list is so long, I can't even get it straight. All right. So this is why this conversation is going to be fascinating for me. I never wore the uniform. I am so grateful for you and others who did. So help us understand how a withdrawal from Afghanistan is supposed to take place in terms of what goes on behind the scene and what didn't go right here.
Sure. I'm going to do something on my own, and I'm going to step back to 1975 and Joe Biden then.
Okay.
President Ford, Donald Rumsfeld, Henry Kissinger were watching the North Vietnamese break the Paris Peace Accord, and they mounted a massive conventional assault on South Vietnam. Because of the times, they needed authorization to launch the United States Air Force to potentially devastate the North Vietnamese Army, which was out of the open, tens of thousands of them, thousands of tanks. They went to the Democrat majority in the Congress and were told no. One of those people was a newly minted senator from Delaware named Joseph Robinette Biden. So we've seen this act before. What a General Mattis or a Don Rumsfeld would have done. We certainly had plans in place. If you have tens of thousands of Americans separate and apart from the thousands of Afghan allies that we needed to protect, and you knew there would be a problem, and this administration knew there would be a problem months ago, you don't remove those kinetic forces that can be called upon to prevent the kind of scenes that you saw at the Kabul airport. You don't abandon a massive, heavily fortified air base that could be used to evacuate Americans and Afghan allies. You don't rely on an open civilian airport in the middle of a city of 4.5 million people. So everything about this was backward. I will say that I think it falls completely on the White House and the amateurs who occupy the National Security Council. I do believe, even given the times, that the military presented this White House with the option, the options on how to best protect our people, and they didn't listen. And we fall back on what my former boss, Bob Gates, said, that this president has been wrong about every major national security issue for over 40 years. And the problem now is that it was all right when he was just a senator and a vice president, and he could just give speeches and he had no hands on the levers of kinetic power. But now he does. And you see this massive catastrophe. I think it's greater than Saigon. The reason I say that is that in those days, and my father was a very decorated combat officer from Vietnam. We were living at Fort Bragg at the time Saigon fell. We only had one major enemy, and it was a pretty one-dimensional enemy, the Soviet Union. Because they didn't really offer much to the world other than brute force, we were given time to recover, even recover from Jimmy Carter. We don't have that simple situation anymore. We have a rampant China, a rebuilding Russia, and, of course, the mullahs in Iran, not to mention the erratic dictator of North Korea. This kind of weakness we've already seen in the last few days has already given the Chinese an opportunity to threaten Taiwan. We have our friends in India bewildered about the reliability of the United States, given the fact that India is buttressed by Pakistan and by the People's Republic of China. This will have ramifications down the line. Last thing I will say, and I apologize for going on too long.
No, you go ahead.
We're not surprised by what has happened. I think Geraldo Rivera pretty much summed it up a couple of days ago when he said, "We've got a White House that is filled with a bunch of Ivy League dreamers who have no concept of reality." And the notion that the White House press secretary could go in front of the entire world and say that if the Taliban doesn't behave itself, they won't be welcome at the United Nations, I think tells you how out of touch and dangerous the leadership of this administration is. And as a soldier's son, I mean, my military service is very modest compared to my ancestors. I can only imagine what is going through the minds of those who have sacrificed so much. I certainly saw it in the eyes of my father and his comrades when Saigon fell, emptiness after having given so much over those 10 years. But I think in geopolitical terms, this will be more devastating because we still have 3 years left of this administration. And the notion that this president, who was supposed to be the professional, only according to the media, but let's use that for argument's sake,
sure,
did not even have the decency to consult with Boris Johnson or Emmanuel Macron or Justin Trudeau or the Prime Minister of Australia about what we were doing. And these are the same people who said that Donald Trump ripped apart alliances. Well, I can tell you from being an undersecretary and a secretary in former president's cabinet, he was always on the line with those people. And we have suffered a great humiliation, and we will be reaping the whirlwind for as far as I can see into the future.
Colonel Wilkie, I snickered a moment ago when you talked about the press secretary and the empty threat about the Taliban will not be welcome at the United Nations. That is such a tremendous example, along with her comment yesterday that there were people who self-identified as Americans. Again, this is a fundamental misunderstanding of who you're dealing with, because the Taliban don't care about these niceties. Every American citizen, I trust, knows that, and I think plenty of Democrats, that's why they've been so silent on this issue. But with regard to, if you can, juxtapose what would have happened with this Afghanistan withdrawal if it had been President Trump carrying out his plan as opposed to the Biden administration dismissing the Trump plan because it had the name Trump on it and going the way that went. What kind of life would we be living differently right now on this issue?
Well, let's talk about President Trump's history in the region. President Trump, at his heart, was a very practical man. When threats appeared to the United States, he was able to pivot. Classic example being the death of the world's foremost terrorist, General Soleimani. That's one that the liberal internationalists have never condoned, that Biden condemned. And by the way, Biden also opposed the raid that took out Osama bin Laden. People forget that.
Yes.
Even in the Obama administration, he was an outlier. President Trump reacted strongly in Syria. He reacted strongly in Iraq. I have no doubt that if American lives were on the line in the last administration, the response would be devastating. And let me use another example as to how far we are gone.
Sure.
And I've said that if an administration or leaders are not able to defend the nation, even rhetorically, how can they defend them kinetically? So what do I mean? The Secretary of State was harangued on our own soil in March by the Chinese foreign minister, who called America a corrupt, racist country. And all he was doing was reading back to the Secretary of State President Biden's own words. And the Secretary of State could only mouth a bunch of Ivy League pieces about the United States being imperfect. Now, can you imagine Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Gerald Ford, or Donald Trump being told that by a Chinese official? The response would have been, the United States does not take lessons from a country that has killed over 100 million of its own people since 1949. But that's not the kind of leadership that we have. And I think the world is not sleeping well tonight because of what they have seen on their television. And last thing, our UN ambassador said that we have issued a strongly worded response in no uncertain terms through the United Nations that we expect the Taliban to respect women's rights and be respectful of humanitarian law. That's a direct quote from our UN ambassador speaking through a press release.
I read in the last hour a joint statement that came from the State Department that was with that similar verbiage, and the only thing I can think of is, or what? Because they don't care. I mean, it's an empty threat, so they're watching. Well, that's nice. Colonel, let me, if I can impose another 60 seconds, we left behind an awful lot of military hardware, and now Speaker Pelosi dismisses it today, saying, well, that's what happens when you withdraw. It doesn't have to be, though, does it?
No, it doesn't, and it hasn't been. And you know, they're drumming up pictures of what happened in 1975 in Saigon, where we were pushing helicopters off the decks of carriers. We were doing that because there were so many coming in that we had to get them off the ships in order for the ships to function. That's completely different from just abandoning billions of dollars of equipment, functioning military installations to the hands of the Taliban. And there's a sense of unreality on the part of this White House and its allies in the Congress. And it's a very sad day because for me, even though I was a child, it certainly brings back some memories of 1975 and the fall of Saigon, and me listening to folks at Fort Bragg talk about that moment.
Colonel Wilkie, such bright insight, so well stated. Thank you so much for sharing your intelligence and sharing your experiences with the Todd Starnes audience. I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Colonel Robert Wilkie, former Undersecretary of Defense, Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. He's a fellow with the Heritage Foundation and currently a colonel in the Air Force Reserve. Mincing no words about where this went wrong and why, despite what those in charge now say, it did not have to be this way. Not in any way. Benjamin, hang on the line. The rest of you, queue up, please. 844-747-8868. We go to the phones next. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, coming to you from Starnes Media Affiliate, News Talk 1540, KXEL in Iowa. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. That's the number that Benjamin used to call in from Texas. Benjamin, Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Jeff. Hey, good talking to you. This is the first time getting to talk to you. I just wanted to say that I slightly disagree with what you were saying about the time that the store closes.
Okay.
So, if that was, that's totally different, but if we went along with it was the store's rules for the mask policy, why was Jack Phillips and Baronel Stutzman shut down and their businesses destroyed over their rule? And I would argue that even that is even different in the mask. You shouldn't be able to force somebody to wear a mask, but they should still be able to have their business. But anyways, you can't choose one or the other. And if they're going to be shut down, then these businesses can't force people to wear a mask either.
Well, I don't think... No, you're right, and you're right that the hours of operation was not a perfect analogy. If you weren't with us in the last hour, I tried to make some comparisons, and it wasn't perfect. But here's where I agree with you. If the business sets its rules, I should be able to not go there if I don't want to, but the government should not be closing businesses down either. I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, because if, for example, this business has its rules and they say we don't want you to wear a mask, et cetera, et cetera, well, then I have the choice, right? I have the choice. If I want to wear a mask, I can. If they say no masks allowed, okay, I'll go somewhere else. My problem with government overreaching on all of this is that they don't know what it's like to run a business. Now, Benjamin, what do you do for a living?
We clean swimming pools.
Okay.
Central Texas area.
Okay, outstanding. So you've got a business. You run your business. Do you think you know how to run your business better than the average government official?
Absolutely.
And that's, I think, the whole point of all of this. And by the way, we're up against a break. But Benjamin, thank you for getting through. Thank you for listening to the show. And thank you for supporting Todd by calling to the show today. This is the point I've got. I don't need government officials who are power hungry telling me how to run my business. Give us your best advice. Give us guidance. But it's my choice as to whether I want to have masks, not have masks, etc. It's my choice as a business owner and as a customer. I vote with my dollars. We're back after this short break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show on this Wednesday. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd this week. Todd, taking a little R&R time. Glad to have you along. Give us a call, please, 844-747-8868. I'll say that again, 844-747-8868. But now we go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are joined by Tyson Langhofer. Mr. Langhofer is Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Academic Freedom. You find them online at adflegal.org. Mr. Langhofer, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
All right. Alliance Defending Freedom, remind us again what you folks do at the ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom.
Well, we defend the First Amendment rights of everyone so that they can, you know, live according to the dictates of their conscience. And specifically, the Center for Academic Freedom, we represent students and faculty at public universities and K-12 schools so that everyone can freely participate in the marketplace of ideas.
As someone who is a lawyer and who taught media law and First Amendment law to college students for 25 years, I'm intrigued by this case in Virginia. Again, the Loudoun County School Board at it again. Tell us about this lawsuit, this coercive speech policy the school board is trying to impose on faculty, and what the latest development is on it that you folks have been involved with.
Sure. Well, you know, as you know, teachers shouldn't be forced to promote ideologies that are harmful to their students. But unfortunately, that's exactly what LCPS is the Loudoun County School Board is forcing its teachers to do. So the school board last week passed a policy which mandates that all staff and students at Loudoun County schools must use whatever chosen name or gender pronoun that any student demands, and, quote, without any substantiating evidence. So this would allow students as young as kindergarten to demand that a teacher refer to them with any pronoun they choose and any name chosen by the student, without any parental involvement, without any medical diagnosis, without any evidence of that this had been a persistent and consistent desire of the student. And so, you know, our clients believe that that is going to be very harmful to both teachers and students. It will force teachers to say things that they believe are untrue, that gender identity is chosen based upon your feelings rather than immutable based upon your biological sex. And it will harm students because it will tell them, communicate to them that this ideology that gender identity is based upon feelings rather than sex, and it will place them on a lifelong conveyor belt towards very harmful and very invasive medical techniques, and it's not going to help them overcome the dysphoria that they're feeling.
I understand a school district saying this is the curriculum, and we may have five different teachers teaching the same subject, and so we have to make sure that there is a consistency of educational quality. I get that. But even within that, each individual teacher typically has the freedom to teach in the manner most appropriate to either their ability, their style, the students' needs. So I understand that with curriculum. This is so far beyond, to me, what the role of the school should be doing. How is it that we got to this place? Or is that one of your arguments, that this is well beyond the scope of what a school should be doing?
Well, it is absolutely well beyond the scope, because as you indicated, I mean, this is not an objection to curriculum. Our clients have been, all three of them are longtime teachers in the school, and they recognize the school's right to dictate curriculum. But within the teaching, within the classroom, every teacher then has to interact, has this interpersonal communications with its students. And the teachers, or the school, doesn't dictate the exact words that every teacher uses, but that's what they're doing here, and they're doing it, you know, across the board. And another really important thing here is the Virginia law, which required schools to adopt transgender policies, specifically says that they must do so in accordance with evidence-based best practices. It is absolutely contrary to evidence-based best practices to mandate social transition for all students regardless of parental involvement, regardless of whether there's a medical diagnosis, regardless of how young the child is or whether this has been consistent or persistent, that's not consistent with science. And it's unnecessary, and it's going to drive great teachers out of the school system because they're being forced to promote ideologies that they believe are harmful to the students.
Tyson Langhofer is Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Academic Freedom within the Alliance Defending Freedom. ADFLegal.org is the website. Joining us on the Todd Starnes program, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. With regard to the role of a teacher in a public school district, so the public schools have a responsibility, do they not, through the teachers, to in essence be the parent while the child is in school. They're supposed to provide a modicum of safety and of care, and I would suggest that that's physical as well as emotional as well as educational or learning, quote-unquote, care. This is far beyond what I'm guessing many parents believe is the appropriate behavior for those entrusted with their precious children.
No, it absolutely is. And unfortunately, this policy specifically allows the school district to hide the fact of social transition from parents if they, in the school's own discretion, determine that somehow that would be harmful, revealing this to the parents would be harmful to the students. And again, we're talking about students as young as kindergarten. And so that's not helpful. We know that. We know that from social science, that having the parents are absolutely paramount to students and children's health. They need to be on the same page, and parents have rights as well. They're mandating an ideology across the board, which is unrelated to curriculum, which is unnecessary, and which, again, is going to force teachers to say things that they believe are untrue and that also are going to be harmful to students. And so this is an ideologically motivated policy. It's unnecessary, and it's not only not going to protect the students it's designed to protect, it's actually going to harm them.
Which is the ultimate key point here. This is not just some little neutral thing. This can cause very real harm. Do you find in your work that this idea of, and I'm going to say coming in through the back door on this, they can't teach some of this at the front of the classroom, so they put these policies in that create an even broader atmosphere to, and again, the idea of, we don't need to tell your parents, certain officials in the state of Tennessee, well, you don't have to tell your parent if you're under 18 about a vaccination, et cetera, et cetera. That's really the absolute definition of agenda-driven, is it not? Or am I just being am I overreacting, I should say?
No, it's absolutely an agenda. And, you know, many states have these laws which require parents to either opt them in or be able to opt out of curriculum. And what they're doing with some of these very controversial and ideologically based curriculum is they're just putting it throughout. It's not some specific curriculum. They're just saying, these are our values and you have to teach them. And it's not any curriculum. It's just the whole, everything that's communicated through the school. And so they're avoiding these laws, which have been duly enacted by their legislators in order to avoid, you know, this disclosure, which is required. And again, you know, one of the problems we have here is this is a hotly debated issue, that how best to deal with transgender children, how to deal with them in the most compassionate way and help them come to terms with who they are. That's hotly debated right now. And what they're trying to do is shut down debate before that has been resolved, and they're trying to shut parents out of this very, very important conversation dealing with their children.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, because you'll face someone in court who will. Well, shouldn't the school at least be consistent? So the school, maybe it's not settled, maybe there isn't a full agreement on this issue, but at least the school has a consistent policy to be enforced. Why is that not a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. The school has an interest in having consistent policy, and they already have those policies in place. They already have policies in place which require teachers to treat their students with dignity and respect. All of my clients will and always have treat every student equally and with dignity and respect. It does not have an interest in compelling absolute conformity to every ideological belief, and for them to have to communicate that in their personal capacity when they're communicating, with the students at the school.
You're not going to be going out of business anytime soon, are you? I mean, there is an. I mean, unfortunately, I have a feeling that the case files are just growing on your desk.
It is, unfortunately, because we're seeing these boards become more and more ideological, and they're not reflecting the desires of their county. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of parents who have never been into a school board meeting showing up and saying, "This is not what we want for our schools. We want you to teach to educate our children on reading and writing and arithmetic, not indoctrinate them with your very controversial and ideologically motivated views."
If people are interested in learning more or how they might be able to help you folks, maybe they're in a school district where everything is going pretty well, I'd suggest they need to look a little closer, because I think this is more insidious than many of us want to believe. But if they're interested in following this case or any of the other cases or helping you out, what should they do?
Yeah, go to adflegal.org. You can find out about all of our work there, including the cases going on here in Loudoun County. And we do all this for free for our clients. We don't charge them a dime, so any support you can provide would be great. But I absolutely agree with you, Jeff, that every one of us need to understand what's going on in our schools. And we need to be out there. We need to be engaged. We need to be speaking out. And don't allow it to get to the point where Loudoun County has gotten. Even if it's good in your county, be out there. Be vigilant. Be watching. Be engaged.
Mr. Langhofer, thank you so much for the time. Continued success. I wish you that on all of these fronts, and keep up the very good efforts.
Thank you very much.
Tyson Langhofer, Senior Counsel and Director of the Center for Academic Freedom. It's within the Alliance Defending Freedom, and they are good friends of this program, and you can find them online at adflegal.org. That's Alliance Defending Freedom online, adflegal.org. 844-747-8868. That is how you reach the Todd Starnes radio program, and we will take your calls in the next segment. We just had something posted online, and Avery just posted this. And I saw this morning because, again, we've talked about this in the times I've been able to chat with you, Starnes Nation, but for whatever reason, I'm on the email list for the White House. I guess I'm getting the Democrat talking points, huh? Ooh, that's a little frightening. Well, in any case, they give you what the president's schedule is for the day, the president, the vice president, etc. And I noticed this morning, and this is exactly why when I started nearly 2 hours ago today, where I said our headline today should be, is Biden pushing COVID again to deflect from the disaster in Afghanistan? Here's the schedule. The president got the daily brief, and then a few hours later, the president and the vice president would be getting a briefing from members of the White House COVID-19 response team. And then at 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 here in the Midwest, the president will deliver remarks on the COVID-19 response in the East Room. And that's it. That's the public schedule. There was a press briefing by the White House COVID-19 response team, too, but that's it. The only things on here have to do with COVID-19. I am not suggesting that Afghanistan should be the only item. I hope a presidential administration can walk and chew gum at the same time. But what I'm suggesting to you is that this is exactly the verification that in their minds, this story is over. We have moved on. Let's talk COVID. Because they want to put it in the rear view mirror as quickly as possible, because it is such a disaster and there is no other way to phrase it. So they're going to say, we want to talk about COVID today. Now, when you have to resort to talking about COVID and your failed efforts to get people to believe you, when that's your go-to position, that shows you just how bad things are in Afghanistan. 844-747-8868. Your calls on the other side of this break. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. I'm so appreciative that you've been along with us here. Stick with us on the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, who's taking time off this week. 844-747-8868 is the number to call and join this coast-to-coast conversation. We'll welcome two members of the U.S. Congress in the next hour of the program, so we hope you can stay around. Representative Kat Kamick of Florida and Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, both here, both live, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line in the next hour of this program. How much of crackdown would you say is appropriate when we're talking about COVID, and how much is an overreaction? I think I have the definition here of overreaction. New Zealand is on nationwide lockdown. Alert level 4. That sounds so serious. They have one case of COVID. I mean, seriously? One case of COVID. Shut her down! The Prime Minister says, don't talk to your neighbors. Please keep your bubbles. Of course, don't. I mean, I'm thinking of a bad John Travolta Bubble Boy movie from the 70s, but you can probably find that on the YouTube. Rumble wouldn't post it. They're too good for that. But you might find that kind of junk on YouTube. But in any event, don't talk to your neighbors. Of course not, because if your neighbors talk to each other, they might all agree what a stupid policy this is. We can't have the people talking to one another. No, no, we don't want that. By the way, where you live, you probably saw census data. I think it came out last, maybe Thursday, Friday. So now we're to the business of redrawing boundaries. And I saw in one of the formerly mainstream media outlets a comment saying, a lot of these cities, which typically vote Democrat, they got an increase in population. Now, you might think that will help them. But don't forget, it's Republicans who typically control all of this, and so don't count on it. Oh, okay. The ones who made sure to get elected officials in place who are responsible for counting ballots, and lo and behold, we now have election insecurity. They're the ones who are saying, it's those Republicans who draw districts, can't trust them. It's also false. Because in so many states, like the one I live in, it's done by a computer. They plug in the data, it goes to a computer, and you don't have these odd little congressional districts or state house districts with a 1 mile swath of land to mess up the distribution of people by party, the gerrymandering. People don't do this anymore, largely. That's why you have the computers. That's why you have the models. But as long as they can still hype that narrative, I guess it's fine. Well, here's the problem. Did you know that the U.S. Census Bureau computers were hacked? That's right. Now, they say that these computers were uninvolved with the census, but they were, quote, exploited. Do you trust now the census data? Is there any trust left in government? We'll pick up on this in the next hour. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being with us on the Todd Starnes Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number 3 of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on more than 100 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com and via the KWAM radio mobile app. Hello, Patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, coming to you from Starnes Media affiliate News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. Always a privilege to talk to you folks. And I hope you'll pick up the phone and give us a call to let us know what you think at 844- 747-8868. 8868. We'll take your calls in the next segment of the program. But joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is the Congresswoman from the 3rd District of Florida. She is Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Congresswoman, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for taking time. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff. Good to hear your voice. Thank you so much for having us on.
So you have been spending time, I trust, talking with constituents throughout your state during this August recess. What is most often on their mind?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that because we just held a teletown hall last night with 75,000 of our constituents. And the number one issue on their mind is national security. And by that, I mean the crisis that we are experiencing on our southwest border, that's keeping them up at night. The rising prices that we are seeing across the board for everything from gasoline to houses to you name it, everyday items in the grocery store, that is keeping them up at night. And when you look across the board at the issues, you know, people are starting to pay more attention. But the things that are happening here locally that we really are seeing talked about on a national scale, but really impacting us here locally, things like critical race theory, mandates, be it vaccine mandates or mask mandates, these are top of the mind issues at the local level. So it's good to see people engaging in the process. I think that it's long overdue, but I got to tell you, we are in a real tough spot as a country. That being said, I do think we do have a tremendous opportunity to come back bigger, better, and stronger than ever before.
Is there confidence? When you talk to your constituents, you've got a state government there that is frequently the target of attacks by the federal government because of, shall we say, a difference of opinion, that's putting it charitably. Do your constituents have confidence in Washington? And I think that may be even worse now given the Afghanistan situation we'll talk about, but do they have confidence in government anymore generally?
Broadly, in this administration, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a tremendous frustration, and that has existed for a long time, dealing with the heavy hand of government. But people are seeing a weak, not present, missing in action president. They are seeing our credibility on the world stage disintegrate through misdirection, lies, and quite frankly, as I said, just not even being present. And when you think about it, the heavy hand of government, talking about the federal government and some of the local issues, you know, you talked about here in the state of Florida, we have a wonderful governor, Ron DeSantis, who has stood very firm when it comes to protecting our children and protecting parents' rights to make the best decisions for their kids. And in my home county, Alachua County, it made national news because it defied Governor DeSantis's role. In turn, in response, the Federal Department of Education had said, well, if Governor DeSantis is going to strip the school board and the superintendent employees of their salaries as retaliation for failing to comply with his order, we will come in and take over and pay those salaries. That's not right. That is not how our country is supposed to function. We need to have government controlled at the state and local level. And we saw today here some action. The governor has appointed a new school board member that will be a strong voice for parental rights. And again, this is all setting the stage for a battle that we are going to have eventually. Really understanding the role of government and how it should function. I personally believe that limited and less government is the best government. But if we continue to subvert the process and mix in and middle and move away from a federalist mindset, we are going to find ourselves in a position where we do not have local control and local elections will not matter. And we will all be beholden to a large federal government that takes a one-size-fits-all approach to every single issue. And that is incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, it's worked so well so far during this administration. Congresswoman Kat Kamick represents the 3rd District of Florida, and she joins us live on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Now, in your role as a member of the Homeland Security Committee in the Congress, you have some unique insight because you have access to this administration to hear their answers to what happened in Afghanistan. I trust they've been just incredibly forthcoming and have answered all your questions satisfactorily, right?
Oh, man. They
no, they haven't? They
no,
haven't?
No,
oh, okay.
Imagine that. Well, yeah. First and foremost, you actually have to show up in order to answer questions. And that this administration has been in hiding. I think they might be in a basement somewhere. But I can tell you, I was on the call this past Sunday with SecDef Austin and Secretary Blinken, as well as General Milley, and they gave a pre-approved set of talking points over and over and over again. And when pressed by us in the House of Representatives, they cut off questions and denied us the ability to ask any more questions because they couldn't answer them. We have found in the last few days the lies that have been uncovered. This administration did not have a plan. They did not have contingencies in place. That has been made clear. I have, for the last 72 hours, been speaking with C-17 pilots that are boots on the ground. There is what is basically called the frozen middle. The suits in Washington have absolutely lost the war. The boots have done their job. They have done it well. And today we find ourselves in a situation where there's a lot of blame going around, a lot of finger pointing. Intelligence community is being thrown under the bus by this administration. And yet we have thousands of Americans that have been left behind. We are Americans. We do not leave people behind. And I will be damned if we sit by and hope for the best and hope that the Taliban shows mercy, as this administration basically laid out yesterday. We cannot let that happen. We need to focus on being Americans first, putting Americans first, getting our people out of there, getting the people that stood by us for 20 years, getting them out. We have to do that first and foremost, and then immediately thereafter, heads will roll. We will make sure that resignations happen. We will make sure that the people who failed miserably are held accountable, and that is just the start of what is going to happen with regard to this total and utter failure that we have witnessed in the last 96 hours.
But, Congresswoman, has it gone too far? In other words, I've talked to a few people in this chair the last several days since this all started last Friday, I guess, when I was sitting here. And when I say, well, what should we do? It's almost so messed up that it is only going to get worse and there's not a good outcome. Am I just too fatalistic about the whole thing, given the track record of this administration so far?
You know, I am the eternal optimist, and yeah. So I never want to think that something has gone so far that it can't be fixed. I'm also very realistic in understanding the challenges. You know, as a graduate of the Naval War College, one of the first things that we're taught is war termination. That is probably the most important and most overlooked aspect when it comes to military strategy and planning. Right now, we have to send a very clear message that any assault, any finger that gets laid on any American will not be tolerated. That message has to be sent loud and clear, and the president needs to be the one to do it. He cannot continue to hide at Camp David. He cannot continue to stay behind the scenes. He needs to get out in front of this now. With regard to the exfiltration, we need to ensure that we have enough assets available that we can safely get people to an exfil site, get them out of country, even if it is to a third-party site, and work from there. But it starts with our president actually having that conversation with our allies and world leaders. As far as I know, that conversation has not taken place. There have been no calls to other world leaders. We cannot go it alone at this point in time. We need to rely on our international partners in this moment. And that is never a position we want to find ourselves in, but it's where we are at. And again, the most important thing in this moment right now is getting Americans out of country. We have to do that. We have to put them first. And to just give people a point of reference, as a member of Congress, we are being blocked from getting even basic information from the State Department about our constituents that are in country. That goes to show that this State Department has been run so poorly in the last 8 months that they can't even provide basic information that should be readily available to every member of Congress who requests it. That is unconscionable. There need to be absolute hearings highlighting the gross just mismanagement of this administration and the agencies that they are tasked with overseeing. We will get to the bottom of this. There's going to be plenty of blame to go around. But right now, we need to be focusing on getting Americans out.
Congresswoman Kat Kamek represents the 3rd District in Florida, joining us live on the Todd Starnes Show. I think I saw that the president called Boris Johnson maybe yesterday. Well, that's the horses out of the barn down the road, to your point. Why was this not coordinated ahead of time? In our remaining moment or so, I believe I saw where the Secretary of Defense and the Chair of the Joint Chiefs spoke to the president today, gave him a briefing at the White House, and then they are going to have a public news briefing or statement this afternoon. I think I have that right. If that is the case, what do you, as a member of Congress and of the Homeland Security Committee, what do you want to hear them say to the American people?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I believe that the American people and our partners around the world, they deserve the truth. They need to have a very clear mission laid out. They need to take full responsibility for this. They can no longer hide behind these pre-approved talking points that they continually push down our throats as members of Congress in the last week. They have been operating off of a narrative that this is somehow orderly and a safe drawdown of our military presence in Afghanistan. It is not. They need to come clean about the fact that they botched this entire process. And they need to be honest and say that they did not make proper plans. They did not have a security footprint in place. They did not accurately really understand the culture. They did not understand the mentality and the capability of the Taliban. They woefully underestimated the capability and will of the Afghan National Security Forces. And they need to be honest. Our credibility is on the line around the world because of this administration's total, utter failure handling of this situation. The way you establish credibility is first and foremost through honesty, and they need to be honest in this briefing coming up this afternoon, and then they need to follow through. 90% of planning comes through and success based on your execution of it. So they need to have a plan. They need to execute. They need to execute well. They need to listen to the boots on the ground rather than the bureaucrats and the suits in Washington. And they need to act swiftly and make it known that no harm can come to Americans or our allies. Otherwise, all hell will break loose. That needs to be made clear very, very quickly.
You really think that's going to happen, though? You're an optimist, but do you really think that's going to happen?
That is what I expect as an individual who took the same oath that the president of the United States took. He better say that. And that better be what they say. And if they don't, as I said, they will have a very, very long road ahead that will be riddled with incredible challenges. They have lost the confidence of the American people, not just conservatives, not just Republicans, but Democrats and Republicans alike. Right now, we cannot afford to be politically motivated in how we handle this situation. We need to be following an America First policy and agenda moving forward, because what has happened in the last 8 months has cost us lives, treasure, economic standing, and credibility all around the world. I don't know if he will say that, but that's what I want to hear, and that's what we need to hear.
Congresswoman, this was a great pleasure. Thank you for taking time. Thanks for sharing your insight, and we'll be listening to that newser this afternoon to see if they do say that. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one.
You do the same. Congresswoman Kat Kamek, representing the 3rd District of the state of Florida, joining us live on the Todd Starnes program, coast to coast and at toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd this week while he takes some R&R time. How about you pick up the phone? I was going to say dial. Who dials now? I would love somebody who has a dial phone to actually dial. Press buttons? Well, no, you get a cell phone, it's just tap on a screen. It's just not the same as it used to be. So why don't you dial 844-747-8868. 844-747-8868. Whatever method you have to make an old-fashioned telephone call. We'll put you here on the radio when we come back after this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
from the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I've got about a minute and a half, and it goes to Joyce from North Carolina, listening on the great WSIC. Joyce, that's how much time I have. What's on your mind?
Well, hello. I'm glad you're taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I've got a lot on my mind about Joe Biden. You know, I voted for Donald, and I don't know what Donald's thinking about this world. I know he don't like it either, and I don't like him. I'm worried about my troops, you know, in Afghanistan, and I'm worried about the economy, and I'm worried if this COVID's ever going away, because I haven't called it yet, and I don't even wear a mask at church. Ain't nobody got it in church, and I pray every day that this world will get better, and it's just the Democrats are killing us. Republicans just killing us, Jeff.
No, I can tell in the sound of your voice that this is very distressing. The only thing I can tell you, Joyce, is you've got a good heart. I can tell by talking with you. Keep praying for the country because we're all right there with you. We're all desperately worried about these troops, some 4,500 in Afghanistan. We've got all of these American citizens, not self-identified Americans, Ms. Psaki, as you said yesterday. They're Americans. And the fact that the COVID is just still, this is what they're going to pivot and talk about today. Well, good luck, because they don't have any better answers. It's just to hide from the fact that it's such a failure on Afghanistan. Joyce, again, bless you so much for calling. And keep praying. And you folks stay tuned. I'm Jeff Stein. More of the Todd Starnes Show after this bottom of the hour break. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. Good to have you along. 844-747-8868 is the number. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But now let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We are joined by Congressman Scott Perry. He represents the 10th District of the great state of Pennsylvania. Congressman Perry, thank you for taking time to join the Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
Well, Jeff, it's great to be with you. Thank you. I'm doing well, except for watching the country burn down. And, of course, on the international scene, you know, look, it's hard for every single American, I think, who loves the country to watch this, and particularly so for those who have had the honor to wear the uniform and defend our country and our ideals overseas. This is just it defies description, quite honestly.
Well, and that is why, Congressman, I was glad you were on the guest list, because, again, I never put on the uniform. I have great respect for those of you who did and those who are there right now. And I have talked to people not only on this program but my program in Iowa over the past several days, And I detect it just a bit in your voice. There is anger, is there not? I mean, you took an oath, you held up your end of the bargain in an honorable way, and to see what this country that you have represented in a variety of ways is doing on the world stage, I don't know how you're as controlled as you are, frankly.
Yeah, it's, look, we, you know, We want to be measured here so that we don't lose our message for our delivery. But this is an abject failure. And, of course, we also want to be very supportive of the country that we love, and you never want to give your enemies any comfort at all. But, I mean, you know, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan and, you know, thousands of lives in uniform and out of uniform, trillions of dollars, and the credibility and the will of the American people. And in literally in a couple of days, you know, goat herders, I could say they stole our weapons, but I guess we handed them to them, have defeated the greatest army on the planet. I don't know how else to characterize that. I hate to say that, but, you know, my eyes can see. And so that's what I'm seeing. And of course, especially for those of us who have been there, who have buried our friends, who have watched our friends cry, who have watched our friends be horribly disfigured, both internally and externally. You know, we understand the price of liberty, the price of what we have in this great country, and the burden that comes with being leaders. We understand that, and we willingly pay the price. We sign up to do it. We gladly do it. But we don't want it to be squandered. We don't want that to be wasted. And let me be careful there, because we need to make the differentiation between the troops, those who wear the boots, and the suits, those who are making these policy decisions. This is not a failure of those in uniform. This is a failure of policymakers who are clueless, who are inept, who are prideful, and who are negligent, grossly negligent in the care of the enormous sacrifice made by so many people and so many families along the way. And so it is very, very difficult to feel like it hasn't been wasted, even though we know that each one of us serves not only that higher ideal, that great thing, those great things that we believe in our wonderful country, but also for the person serving right next to you. And there is some solace in knowing that, you know, if you sacrifice greatly, it might have saved the person next to you or some person down the line. But there still is an overwhelming feeling that this sacrifice, this, and in many cases, a supreme and ultimate sacrifice that has been made, you got to look back and you got to say to yourself, well, what was that all for? And you just can't help it, right? You cannot help that.
Well, it is also a situation, and reminding the audience, we're speaking with Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania on the Todd Starn Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd this week. When you have the inside knowledge, having served, I have a feeling that you can much more easily dissect where this went wrong than those of us who didn't. And it leads me to say, when you see things starting to go off the track, go off the plan, at what point during all of this did you, as an experienced professional, look at it and say, we're in trouble here? I mean, well before last week, was this back in May when he was talking about changing things? At what point did you look at this and say, I think we're in trouble here?
Quite honestly, it's kind of a premonition. Just as soon as Joe Biden, you know, took the oath at the inauguration, because let's just face it, leftists have a track record, Jeff. I mean, it goes back to Vietnam and defunding our troops while they were in contact. It goes back to where I was honored to serve in Iraq and all the sacrifices, 4,500 American souls in uniform. Wasted there under Barack Obama, who just wanted to get out and couldn't be bothered with the status of forces agreement. It goes to Benghazi and Hillary Clinton. And now it goes to Joe Biden, who allegedly is some kind of foreign policy expert who's been on the wrong side of history and foreign policy for his whole time in public service on every important issue. Like I said, we just know that the left is incompetent and inept and not in touch with the reality of the circumstances of armed conflict with an enemy who's interested in winning. They try to assign and ascribe Western values to our enemies, and you simply cannot do that and be successful. When a culture finds it defines being duplicitous as a virtue, then you can't trust them at their word when they say, if you do this, we will do that. There's only one thing that they understand, and it comes at the end of a gun. They understand authority and power, and while that's unpalatable for many Americans to accept, to acknowledge, to see, that is the reality. The left simply cannot be trusted. So I knew that this was going to be a debacle. And, of course, you know, I was looking at the map as this occurred, and they kept on, you know, the administration, who, again, has lied to us time and time again over multiple things. They said, well, you know, this isn't assured that the Taliban will take over. I'm looking at the map, and they've got 80% of the country at the time. These people are saying it. It was, you know, quite honestly, it was a joke then. But I certainly never thought that they would leave 10 to 15,000 Americans in country without a plan on getting them out, and then somehow act like it was going to be okay to say that our partners there deserve to come out at the same time or even before Americans. I'm literally watching planes of Afghan people from, I guess, indigenous to Afghanistan come out before Americans come out. And this is the country. These people are American leaders. They're elected by the American people for America. Americans should be first. But look, they're doing this at the border. They're doing it internationally with China. They're doing it with the pandemic. They have shown us time and time again that they don't care about America or Americans. And so, you know, look, I've been dealing with the left for a long time, Jeff, and this is just the latest in the long list of failures to stand up for American principles and American citizens. So we knew it was going to be bad. Just didn't know how bad.
Well, and we're learning, and the fear on that is it's only been 7 months, and it's this bad, can you imagine, after 4 full years? So, Congressman, apparently the Secretary of Defense and the Chair of the Joint Chiefs are doing a briefing this afternoon. What do you as a veteran, what do you as an American, what do you as a member of the United States Congress want to hear from them?
Well, I want to hear about the decision-making process, and I suspect we don't, but I want accountability. I guess, but prior to that, I want to know what the plan is to get American citizens out of harm's way. Not our partners, not our helpers in Afghanistan. I want to hear the plan to get American citizens out, and then I want to know how this epic failure took place. I want accountability. Certainly, it goes right to the top, to the commander in chief. But the commander in chief was advised by somebody, and so heads need to roll. And I don't know if it's the intel community, I don't know if it's DOD and the armed forces, or I don't know if they advised the president that this was a bad plan and he just capriciously went off on his own. But lives are being lost, lives are going to be lost. The credibility of the United States internationally is being sullied greatly. I want to know. I think most Americans want to know. You know, Joe Biden said the buck stops here. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean he's stepping down? I mean, you can say that, but I want to know where the accountability is. I want those Americans to come home safely immediately, and I want to know where accountability is, and then I want to know what we're going to do about all the finest military equipment in the world that's been handed over to terrorist organizations. I want to know how that's going to be dealt with.
Let's talk about that finally as we're talking on the Todd Starnes Show with Congressman Scott Perry of the state of Pennsylvania. There is all manner of blame to go around, and there's all manner of harm that's going to be coming. We don't even know the extent of it, whether it is our Americans still there, whether it is our assets there that trusted us. But to simply walk away and leave this military hardware, presumably, you know better than I, full of proprietary secrets and information, etc. To me, it's either the Taliban uses it against us, or potentially worse, they sell it to Russia or China or somebody else who then has our secrets. Am I overstating the fear on that?
No, not one bit. You're not overstating it a bit. What most Americans don't understand is the Taliban, much like many of our other enemies and other parts of the world, just like this one, are transactional. They'll work for the highest bidder. Today it was America, tomorrow it'll be China, then Russia, whoever. So they don't have any allegiance to anyone but themselves. And of course, We left, fascinatingly and unbelievably, we left Bagram Air Base in the middle of the night, the United States did, just last week, without even telling the Afghan government, and then taken over by the Taliban. And at Bagram and other places where I visited when I was in Afghanistan, prisoners because they were terrorists, thousands of them were housed there, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Khorasan Group, you name it. They were all set free. So another thing to be particularly concerned about, since we have a wide open border with a 420% increase over last year of infiltration, including people on the terror watch list, you got to wonder, you know, President Obama traded one of these terrorists for Bo Bergdahl, who we were told was never going to be seen on the battlefield again. Is someone like that going to be coming across our southern border and infiltrating into the United States and coming to a community near you? So you're not overstating it at all. As a matter of fact, we probably need to think about the branches and sequels, as we would call them in military terms, about just how bad this could potentially get.
Congressman, an intelligent and informative conversation. I appreciate you taking the time. I trust you want to hear that briefing going on at the Pentagon, so we'll leave you to that. Thanks for taking time, and have a good afternoon, sir.
You do the same. Thanks for the opportunity. God bless you, and stay safe out there.
You as well, sir. Congressman Scott Perry, a Republican representing the 10th District of the state of Pennsylvania, and he's on the Twitter machine at Rep. Scott Perry. He joined us live here on the Todd Starnes program. 844-747-8868 is the number you can use to call us and get in on this last segment of the program. If you go to toddstarnes.com, all manner of stories tied to what we've been talking about today. Caleb and Avery have been working. I even see a Todd Starnes byline. Really? This is rest and recreation? I see a Todd Starnes tweet. Really, Todd? This is rest and rec? Well, that's fine. I don't even take the time off. So at least he left the studio. All right. So that's a good thing. We're getting there step by step on this. By the way, something that the congressman was just talking about whether or not this was a failure of the president to listen to others, or whether it was a failure of intelligence. Now, this is something we've talked about previously. I mentioned this the other day, and I want to mention it again. Joe Biden has a very odd sense of history. And I mentioned this the other day, but before we go to the break, I want to give you the attribution for it, all right? And the Atlantic has published a story indicating that Richard Holbrooke, Obama administration official, had raised the issue about leaving Afghanistan. And Holbrooke was concerned about the obligations we had to Afghans, like young girls who wanted to be educated, and women. And Biden replied rather graphically, and I will spare you, this is a family program. Biden is reported to have said, F that, we don't have to worry about that, meaning obligations to women and young girls. F that, we don't have to worry about that. We did it in Vietnam, and Nixon and Kissinger got away with it. That's the attitude. The attitude of who cares about anybody else as long as I get mine. This is the attitude of the commander in chief. I have said on this program multiple times the last week, I pray that this is not a breakdown in intelligence. I pray that it is simply a bad decision by a commander in chief, all based on public relations and optics of the September 11th, 20th anniversary coming up. Because it is even worse if it's a failure of intelligence. We'll talk about that on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
And welcome Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I've got a minute thereabouts, and this is breaking from the AP, and it makes the point. They are so ready to get past this disaster in Afghanistan. They're going to squeeze nursing home workers. This from the Associated Press. The Biden administration will take steps to require that nursing home staff are vaccinated against COVID-19. Requiring vaccination as a condition for the nursing homes to still get federal Medicare and Medicaid funding. The president is to speak this afternoon. He will make the announcement then. This has been confirmed by a senior administration official. This is a regulation to be issued by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, could take effect as soon as next month. So this is the danger, friends. In order to cover up their malfeasance in Afghanistan, they are now going to go even harder on shots and masks and mandates, and they're going to withhold funding if these professionals who have been on the front line of this don't kowtow to what they think. The administration knows more about medicine than the nursing home workers. Joe Biden's America. Thanks to Team Starnes in Memphis. Todd, thank you for letting me sit here. I'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening, folks. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thank you for being along on this Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.